Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Nice to be back with all of you again. Reading from Canto 3, Chapter 16. And we'll read texts 7 and 8. For 16 is entitled Jayan Vijay Cursed by the sages meaning four Kumaras. The beginning of the chapter is Lord Narayan has come to the gate, seventh gate of Vaikuntha, and he speaks to the Kumaras to pacify them. And he speaks very wonderfully, naturally. He apologizes. First he says that what you have done is right. What they have done is wrong because they're representing me. I have done the wrong. Please accept my apology. For one who is representing, this has a lot of practical application. So listen. One who is representing another, if they make some mistake or offense, then the person who they are acting on behalf of receives the blame or some of the blame. And the reason why a devotee, like Jayan Vijay, our devotees, why a devotee might make an offense is because of ignoring the personality of Godhead. There's a lot in there. But I just spent 2 days discussing all of that. He speaks of, Lord Narayan speaks of the exalted position of the Brahmana in the purport. Prabhupada emphasizes not the by birth caste Brahmana, but the by qualification Brahmana, specifically the Brahmana Vaishnava, because one who is Brahmana knows Brahman. And because Brahman is an aspect of the Absolute Truth, the complete form of which is Bhagavan, in his full stage of maturity, a Brahman is a Vaishnava. A Brahmana Vaishnava. And so he says, to me, the Brahmana Vaishnavas are the highest and most beloved. And you have been offended. You are Brahmana Vaishnavas. You've been offended. Therefore, this disrespect shown by my attendant has actually been displayed by me. Because the doormen are my servitors. I take this to be an offense by me. Therefore, I seek your forgiveness for this incident. And then it comes just the verse before where we're beginning. one of the many verses in the Bhagavatam that speaks of the glories of devotional service. in a contrasting way. That is, when someone, even someone may be born of a Chandala family, if they can somehow come in contact with devotional service, engage in devotional service, that person is immediately purified. And the purification is hearing through his ear the glorifications of the personality of Godhead, his name, fame, etc. And I give my protection to such a person who has become purified by that process. And if any part of me, like my arm, may cause some inconvenience for that person, that having formerly been a Chandala, now by contact with devotional service, has become purified. If my arm causes them some inconvenience, I'll chop off my arm, indicating Jaya and Vijaya, your curse that they should take birth as demons. Chopping off my arm, no problem. They're my arms. They're my order carriers. They guard my gates. And if they've offended you, chop them. And then he takes it a step further. That's this morning's two verses. The Lord continued, text 7, because I am the servitor of my devotees. I'll read it again. Because I am the servitor of my devotees. My lotus feet have become so sacred that they immediately wipe out all sin. And I have acquired such a disposition that the goddess of fortune does not leave me. Even though I have no attachment for her, and others praise her beauty and observe sacred vows to secure from her even a slight favor. So what's he saying? I'll read the purport. Prabhupada writes, the relationship between the Lord and his devotees is transcendentally beautiful. As the devotee thinks that it is due to being a devotee of the Lord that he is elevated in all good qualities. Yes, that's how a devotee thinks. If there's any good quality, it's only because of engagement in the service of the Lord. Here's how the Lord thinks. The Lord also thinks that it is because of his devotion to the servitor that all his transcendental glories have increased. And he thinks that way. How dear is the devotee to the Lord? How dear is the Lord to the devotee? A true devotee. Nothing matters except that. And for the Lord, nothing matters except his devotee. In other words, as the devotee is always anxious to render some service to the Lord, so the Lord is ever anxious to render service to the devotee. The Lord herein admits that although he certainly has the quality, then anyone who receives a slight particle of the dust of his lotus feet becomes at once a great personality. This greatness is due to his affection for his devotee. That's how he thinks. It is because of this affection that the goddess of fortune does not leave him, and that only one, not only one, but many thousands of goddesses of fortune engage in his service in the material world simply to get a little favor from the goddess of fortune. People observe many rigid regulations of austerity and penance. The Lord cannot tolerate any inconvenience on the part of the devotee. He is therefore famous as Bhaktavatsala. There are so many nice pastimes we could spend a couple of hours easily. If I ask the question, can you think of some example where Krishna shows his quality of Bhaktavatsala and then describe the pastime? We could be here for hours. Because this is such a prominent feature and such an attractive feature, such a pleasing feature. Krishna is so kind. Bhaktavatsala specifically means he's very kind and favorably disposed to his devotee. He has great affection for his devotee. Now, sometimes we find devotees that have great affection amongst all devotees, great affection for the personality of Godhead. Who can imagine the greatness of the affection that the Lord has for his devotee? You know, one of the classic examples from the Bhagavatam comes on this Bhaktavatsala comes from Maharaj Ambarish, where Durvasa Muni goes to Lord Vishnu, save me, Sudarshan Chakra, I made a big mistake, Ambarish Maharaj is a great devotee, help. And what does the Lord say? There's nothing I can do. I can't take any independent action from Maharaj Ambarish. I'm fully dependent upon him. I'm fully dependent upon him because he's dedicated everything to me. And so I've dedicated everything to him. There's nothing in his heart but me. And there's nothing in my heart but him. So, if he says, I'll do. But I can't take any independent action. Go to him. If he says yes, it's yes. So many. Krishna is very kind. One that comes to mind is Krishna's his Damodar Lila. He's tied by the rope of Mother Yashoda, because he was bound by her affection. Because he wanted to do something else. He's the Supreme Lord, he can do whatever he likes. He wanted to do something else, but Mother Yashoda wanted to bind him. And first it was no. But her affection was so strong, it was yes. He withdrew, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he withdrew his own Icha Shakti, his will potency. He withdrew it. And his Swarup Shakti, his abundant personal potencies, he withdrew them and exhibited his Kripa Shakti. So he was bound. There he is. The Supreme Lord in the form of a little child, bound by a rope of Mother Yashoda. And he looks at the two Arjuna trees and he's thinking, Narada made an utterance. He said, these two trees will be delivered by me. So I have to uphold the word of my devotee. And so he knocked them over. to deliver Nalukovera and Manigriva. Because he's Bhaktivatsala. And on and on and on, because this is his nature. Now, how does that play out in our everyday life? Because our everyday life has miseries. Right? I mean, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi for starters. And then so many other miseries. The rooster that won't stop making his noise during Bhagavatam class. I mean, there's so many miseries. So many miseries. Unlimited miseries. So, you know, Krishna, do something. You're in the heart of that rooster. Tell him to, like, turn it off until class is over. Or something. You know, we have our wish list of things that we want. And it doesn't happen the way that we want. So people go, you know, why is Krishna doing this? So many great calamities, little ones, big ones, huge ones. I could list some of the ones that I've just, you know, in the course of my association recently encountered. Just a disciple named Rupa Sanatan Das, who was the temple president of our St. Louis ISKCON temple, just left his body in Vrindavan hospice, dying of cancer. He was a very nice devotee, doing wonderful service. And he's gone. And so many. One devotee just wrote to me that her sister, pregnant in the 9th month of pregnancy, the doctor says that everything is fine, and then suddenly, miscarriage. The whole family's upside down. I don't know, why did God let this happen? You know, what happened to the Krishna is so kind? Just disappeared. Because it didn't happen the way that they thought it should happen. They're good people, they're very pious people. So, in this material experience that we go through every day, where's the Krishna is so kind factor? Or somebody that has a chronic illness and they're in pain, or it's so many things. They want to serve, but they can't serve because of their ailment. And they try to do something, and then it makes it worse because they shouldn't. They should. And they're frustrated. You know, I just want to serve. Anyway, you know, there's so many. But so, where's the Krishna is so kind in all of that? Take a giant step back and, you know, why have a material creation at all? Just like be in the spiritual world and chant and be happy. Because of the desire of the living entity, the errant desire, and measures to correct that errant desire of the living entity are there within, built within the material world. And that's an act of Krishna's kindness. Like this big, broad contrast that Prabhupada would sometimes draw. When Krishna kills a demon and Krishna saves the devotee, the kindness is the same to both, the demon and the devotee, because they're being delivered. It looks different, but one is being delivered, the other is being delivered. All their sinful reactions are eliminated. Krishna is very kind. Krishna is very kind. Universally, we may not see it because we have another wish list, but in all circumstances, Krishna is very kind. It's his nature. And here in this context, Krishna is very kind to the Kumaras. They're Brahmana Vaishnavas. And he feels, what he's saying, this is like really deep, but he's saying that the particle of dust of my lotus feet, that it's a fact. One who contacts it, their life can become perfect. And you want to know why that's so? It's because of that my fame, my capacity to deliver others has increased because of my affection for my devotee. It's because of my devotee. Because of the association of my devotee, the dust of my lotus feet has become so wonderful. So wonderful that the goddess of fortune doesn't want to leave me. And expanded in the purport, hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune are in a similar position. And who wants the benedictions of the goddess of fortune? So many people want fortune from the goddess of fortune and do austerities and rituals and things to get a little favor from the goddess of fortune. But she is attached to me. And I, you know, don't have that attachment. I have the attachment, of course, she's a devotee too. I have the attachment to my devotee. And it's for that reason that she's attached to me. And many persons are seeking the dust of my lotus feet. It's because of my this quality of bhakta vatsala. That's what he's saying. And you, my dear four Kumaras, you are so dear to me. I'll chop off my arm if it's causing you any inconvenience. My existence, my transcendental existence, is for your happiness. Far out, isn't it? If we could understand that quality of the Lord, how much affection would we have for Him? We don't. And so we don't. So the Bhagavatam is disclosing his affection. The Lord cannot tolerate any inconvenience on the part of the devotee. Well, devotees are inconvenienced, like, all the time. The rooster stopped. But then there's something, and then there's something, and then there's another something. There's always something, and so many somethings that are inconvenienced. So Krishna cannot tolerate any inconvenience on the part of the devotee. But they happen, and he's the supreme controller, so what's going on? The devotee takes those things as purification, and purification is something that's to be tolerated. What permits being tolerant? Well, one thing is if you're hard-hearted and you can just tolerate, you can just like endure all kinds of things because I don't let anything affect me. I'm just hard. I'm impermeable. Because I've learned if you become sensitive, then you get hurt. So I'm not sensitive. I'm insensitive. I'm impermeable, hard-hearted. That's one kind. But another is there's such an important reality. Like we'll go a little bit above that. Let's say where there is affection, like the affection, Prabhupada gives the example of a father entering into a burning building because his child is inside the building. And he'll risk his life and experience, you know, his burns on his body in order to save his child because of his affection for his child. So the affection for the child is here, and physical is down there because of the affection for the child. And, you know, motherhood. Mothers endure so much because of the affection for their child. They don't look at the hardship that they're going through and attending to the needs of their child. It's just affection for their child. So much. 24/7, they're just doing things for their child. And they're happy because that affection. So now we'll go up. And when there's affection for the personality of Godhead, we understand his quality and we have love for him, attachment for him, deep affection for him. We can do anything. 24/7. We can do anything and not feel inconvenienced. Like the example from Bhagavad Gita, entering into the kitchen during the hot summer. There's a very nice description when Srimati Radharani is feeling separation from Krishna, her body becomes so hot. The heat of the pain of separation is so hot that if there's any water anywhere near her, it immediately evaporates. But when she's in the kitchen, where there's dozens of stoves and ovens, and she's cooking, and she's very cool. She doesn't feel the heat because she's doing that which is pleasing to Krishna, which she's gifted to do so wonderfully. When there's attachment for Krishna, then one can tolerate anything. Anything. Anything is not a botheration, except one thing, separation from Krishna or not having access to service to Krishna. That's very elevated, but that's the process that we're cultivating, becoming attached to Krishna. And from the previous verse, how does one become attached to Krishna? By hearing about Krishna. And through hearing about Krishna, understanding Krishna, and then loving Krishna, becoming attached to Krishna. And then other things, you take them in stride. They're part of what you do in service to Krishna. I'm going to read text 8. This is also pretty amazing. Lord Narayan says, I do not enjoy the oblations offered by the sacrificers in the sacrificial fire, which is one of my own mouths, with the same relish as I do the delicacies overflowing with ghee, which are offered to the mouths of the brahmanas, who have dedicated to me the results of their activities and who are ever satisfied with my prasad. And one paragraph purport, I'll read. The devotees of the Lord, or the Vaishnava, does not take anything without offering it to the Lord. Such a Vaishnava dedicates all the results of his activities to the Lord. He does not taste anything eatable which is not first offered to him. The Lord also relishes giving to the Vaishnava's mouth all eatables offered to him. It is clear from this verse that the Lord eats through the sacrificial fire, yes, stated directly, one of my many mouths, and through the brahmana's mouth. So many articles, ghee, grains, etc., are offered in sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord. The Lord accepts sacrificial offerings from the brahmanas and devotees. And elsewhere it is stated that whatever is given to the brahmanas and Vaishnavas to eat is also accepted by the Lord. So he eats through their mouths, and he eats through the fire. He likes eating through their mouths more than he likes eating through the fire. The brahmanas don't eat anything that's, brahmana Vaishnavas don't eat anything that's not first offered to the Lord, and he offers to them. It's love. Yes? Tadati pratiganati guyam akyati prishiti bhunte bojai. So loving exchange between the Lord and his devotee. It's being spelled out here. Loving relationship. The best example of this is found in the life of Advaita Prabhu. In his dealings with Haridas Thakur, even though Haridas was born of a Mohammedan family, Advaita Prabhu offered him the first dish of prasad after the performance of a sacred fire ceremony. Haridas Thakur informed him that he was born of a Mohammedan family and asked why Advaita Prabhu was offering the first dish to a Mohammedan instead of to an elevated Brahmana. Out of his humbleness, Haridas condemned himself, a Mohammedan, but Advaita Prabhu, being an experienced devotee, accepted him as a real Brahmana. Advaita Prabhu asserted that by offering the first dish to Haridas Thakur, he was getting the result of feeding 100,000 brahmanas. The conclusion is that if one can feed a brahmana or Vaishnava, it is better than performing hundreds of thousands of sacrifices. In this age, therefore, it is recommended that Harer Nama, the chanting of the holy name of God, and pleasing the Vaishnavas are the only means to elevate oneself to spiritual life. End of purport. Very interesting way to end the purport of speaking of. So the Lord is saying in the verse, I enjoy much more. I enjoy brahmanas offering oblations into the fire and ghee and grains into the fire, and that's nice. That's one of my many mouths. But I don't enjoy that nearly as much as I enjoy the giving the prasad of things offered to me to the brahmanas, and through their mouths I then eat. I like that much better, much better. And they're only interested in my prasad. And I'm only interested in them. So this formula, the conclusion that Prabhupada takes it is that the best way of coming to that purified stage where one becomes dear to the Lord, or the Lord becomes one's only possession, is the chanting and the serving of the Vaishnavas. Just share two things, little stories. One is something that just happened at our GBC meeting. Probably none of you have heard the name Chitra Rupini Dasi. She was brought before the entire GBC, and we spent about 45 minutes honoring her and her recently departed son. Her son died of cancer. Her son was in her mid-20s. I only know Chitra Rupini because one time we went to a meeting, something, GBC meeting somewhere in Italy. She's Italian. And she was organizing everything to take care of everybody. You know, everything. You know, not just the prasadam and the rooms and the cleaning and the anything. Everything. And her principal helper was her son, Madhava. So for 45 minutes, we heard the glories of Madhava. He's a very glorious person who recently... So it was sharing condolences. And the feature of her was imbibed by her son. And both of them, their whole life, his life, and now continuing her life, just serving the Vaishnavas. We spent 45 minutes just glorifying the details of that nature. From the time he was a small boy, he was serving. He was serving his mother, he was serving the devotees. Something like the description of Narada speaking about his childhood in his previous life. He wasn't playful and talkative, he just liked to listen. And in the case of Madhava, he liked to listen and he liked to serve. He was always serving and 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 always serving. And he never complained, because he was like that. His other childhood friends would tease him. You know, you're no fun, you don't do fun things, you're mama's boy. He never complained, "Oh, mommy, they're saying these things." He just smiled and he went on being a servant. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We were told that not only when we had meetings in the place where they have meetings, I mean, in the place where they serve, but if there were meetings somewhere else or meetings somewhere else, she and her son would go for months in advance and get everything all arranged just to serve the Vaishnavas and take care of all the details. Their life is just serving the devotees. Said he eventually became a temple commander. And one devotee said he had a ring of keys like this. You know, it probably weighed as much as he did. Just, you know, keys for everything. And anybody that needed anything, you just, you know, go to Madhava and it's taken care of. He just loved to serve the devotees. And naturally, not only because you can get things done if you go to Madhava, it was the mood of wanting to serve the devotees that endeared him to all the devotees. He was the darling of anyone who came in contact with him because of that mood. And then he found out that he had cancer. And cancer is, I'm told, it's very painful. He never complained about the pain or the inconvenience or... There's only one thing. There's a festival, the Janmashtami festival's coming up, and are they going to be able to take care of this and that and the other thing? And he wanted to get up out of his bed and do stuff, but he didn't have the strength. And that was what was difficult for him. And then, when he had that illness, his mother was by his side all the time, taking care of her son, who she loved very much, and others were there also. But it was so nice to hear this because the essence of the glorification being service to the Vaishnavas. And by service to the Vaishnavas, they were receiving praises by, you know, the leading devotees of our whole society for 45 minutes. And she was in tears and just so happy. Her son having just left. But, you know, so she spoke finally. And, you know, may I follow in the footsteps of my son and become so filled with this quality of wishing to serve the devotees, which her son got from her. Or from his previous life. It's so very nice. By service. So now another scriptural example is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Most of you have heard this before, but repeat. The devotees would come annually from Bengal to Puri to take part in the Jagannath Rath Yatra, and then they would stay for the rest of the rainy season and then go back to their place. And before going back, they would stop to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Gambira, and he would impart some message to reciprocate with them in some way. So in that section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Satyaraj Khan from Kulina and the other associates came to him, and he presented a question to Mahaprabhu. I'm a materialistic householder, and I don't know what is my duty in life. So please kindly instruct me, what is my duty? And Lord Chaitanya gave the same instruction that Prabhupada ends with this purport with. Two things: serve the devotees, whenever you have some opportunity, and always chant the holy name. This is your duty. So if you want to know what your duty is as a householder, there's one scriptural evidence. There's another, there's a Prabhupada story, where one disciple of Prabhupada had gotten married the day before, and the next morning he was going to be leaving Prabhupada's presence, so he was on the morning walk and he asked Srila Prabhupada, you probably have heard this before, Prabhupada, what is my duty? Now I'm a householder, what is my duty? And Prabhupada said, your duty is that after your meal is prepared, you go to the door and call out three times. Is there anyone who is hungry? And after you have fed whoever comes, then you may take your meal. And the devotee thought, maybe Prabhupada didn't understand my question. So at the end of the morning walk, he asked the same question, and he got exactly the same answer. So that's the duties of a householder, is to be charitable. But it's the mood of service. The mood of service. The mood of service. And chant the holy name. Mood of service, especially service to the Vaishnavas. And here you have a community of Vaishnavas. And let's just imagine for a moment that amongst you all, you're not perfect. Let's just imagine that for a moment. You're trying to become nice devotees, but not perfect. Does that mean that the principle of serving the Vaishnavas gets de-elevated? It's now not so important because they're not perfect. That's not what Lord Narayan is saying. Even a person who is a chandala, in the purport Prabhupada says, who may revert to chandala ways because of long habit. But if that person is carrying within their heart bhakti, the cultivation of bhakti, the desire to become a devotee of the Lord, then that person becomes purified, and that person is accepted by the Lord as the object of his affection. So the Vaishnavas should be the object of our affection, and through the medium of trying to serve them, Krishna will be pleased. And when Krishna is pleased, that's the goal of life. So we're being given a very wonderful opportunity to purify ourselves by that and chant the holy name. And all of the other things that the devotees do as expressions of bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, lives, etc. The message we're hearing is the Lord has great effect. He's Bhaktavatsala. He has great affection upon those personalities. And we have the opportunity to serve those personalities. And if we serve those personalities in the right consciousness that this is what's pleasing to the personality of Godhead, we'll become purified by Krishna's mercy and become eligible for this wonderful opportunity that the Kumaras are experiencing, being directly before the personality of Godhead. They came to the gate of Vaikuntha in order to see the Lord. They were checked. So he came so they could see the Lord. He's fulfilling their desire. How do we get out of the material world? How do we get out of our own conditioning? That's a nice topic. We'll speak about it some more later. But this is the means. If you try any which way, and it's a prison house you can't escape from. Anywhere, any way you look, and any way you try, you can't escape except through this method of bhakti and because Krishna is very kind and he provides the means. Here's the means. Take proper advantage of the facility given. Hare Krishna. Any discussion? Yes.
Maharaj, in this case, the Lord is acknowledging that Jaya and Vijaya had committed an offense.
Mm-hmm.
But, this may be an answered topic very often, but somehow it's not clear to me. How these two persons who are in Vaikuntha can do something which the Lord deems as an offense?
By his arrangement. They had prayed because they served him intimately. They knew that he had a desire for combat, chivalry. He has that spirit. But they considered, who can be a suitable opponent for combat for the Lord? If you so desire, we can take that role. So he fulfilled their prayer. It's a lila. And from that, so many other downstream corollary leelas. Something else? Okay. Yes? How can one come to the point of selfless service? You cultivate it. By purification, you can come to selfless service. The ego principle comes before there's even creation, the sub-creation. Ego principle is there. And once contaminated by the ego principle, any time there's service, that's calculated. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? What's in it for me? And selfless service, that's not the calculation. So it's becoming free from false ego. So we have many stages and steps, starting with understanding we're not this body. The false ego conception of misapprehension of the body as the self. And so what's in the interest of the body is the interest of me, or my mind is in the interest of me. And so we're caught in selfishness and not happy with it, but thinking that's happiness, is fulfilling my self-interest. Well, we don't even know what our self-interest is. So there's many, many layers of becoming selfless, becoming a selfless servant. The process of bhakti is that means, starting with hearing and chanting, and then acting according to, as best we can, with sincere effort, the message that we hear. We apply it. Associate with those who are pure and become pure. Associate with the instructions of those who are pure and become pure. And continue to cultivate without becoming lazy, complacent. Continue to cultivate. Not to the point where we're comfortable, to the point where we're pure. Anything else? Okay, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.